You would open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and if you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand, the honor of the reading of the Word of God. John 3, we'll begin in verse 31. John 3, beginning in verse 31. John the Baptist is here. Into his disciples. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Father, it is my prayer that I would be, Lord, just a useful vessel. And Father, that we'd realize, Lord, that I am just an earthen vessel and the treasure really is of you. And Father, I would ask that I would be a true and faithful witness. And Lord, that my flesh, my personality, my nature, my sin, Father, would not corrupt your pure and perfect gospel. Father, I do ask that you'd speak through me, Lord, your words and your words only. Lord, that you'd set a watch over my mouth, Lord, and you would close my mouth, Father. Lord, when there is something that may come out of it that is not of you, Father, help me to be in much meekness and fear and trembling. Father, we need the power of your Spirit to come and to change our hearts and minds. Lord, to change our lives. So, Father, we'd ask for the wind of your Spirit to blow and shake this place. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been looking at this encounter that John the Baptist has with disciples. And if you recall, the disciples of John the Baptist were upset because Jesus was receiving a greater ministry. All the people that had been following John the Baptist had left and followed Jesus. And now there's just the few faithful disciples of John the Baptist remaining. And they come to John the Baptist and they say, wait a minute, you know, you're losing the crowds. Everybody's leaving you. Everybody's following someone else. You know, we got to do something. You remember John's response we've been looking at, and his first response, and we need to remember this for today, was that a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from above, from heaven. In other words, that John's disciples didn't get it because God had yet to open their eyes, but also the decreasing ministry of John the Baptist came directly from God, and the increasing ministry of Jesus Christ came directly from God. And then we looked at how he spoke of how he had to decrease so that and Jesus would increase. He spoke of how he was just the friend of the groom, but Jesus was the groom and that everything was about him. How he told them, I'm not the Christ, but Jesus is. And so we're going to pick up where he left off in verse 31. Here John tells his followers, he says, he that comes from above is above all. In other words, Jesus has come from above. In other words, Jesus is not of this world. Jesus is divine. Jesus is the Son of God. And as such, he is above everyone. In other words, you have all of humanity and then you have Jesus. All of humanity is beneath Jesus. And that includes John the Baptist. That includes all of the other preachers. That includes every human being that's ever lived. And that includes all of the followers of John. John then speaks of himself and says, he that is of the earth is earthly. He's giving a big contrast here between Jesus and himself. He's saying, I am just a human being. I'm just like Adam. All I am is dirt. That's all I am. You see, John the Baptist, even though he was the greatest man that ever lived, was still merely a man. That's all he was. All he was flesh and blood. All he was a descendant of Adam's dirt. That's all he was. He's of the earth, therefore he's earthly. However, he goes on and says, But he that comes from above is above all. Again, he reiterates that Jesus is not of this world. Jesus is God become flesh. He is the Son of God become a man. And as such, he has a different standing than every human being on the planet. You see, John's followers think John the Baptist is the greatest. And he is. He's the greatest man that's ever lived. He's the greatest man. And at the end of the day, he's still just a man. And John the Baptist has been trying to convince everyone to leave him and follow Jesus. And now he's continuing his ministry with his few remaining followers, trying to convince them to leave him and start following Jesus. And so what he says is, hey guys, I'm a human being. I am dirt that God has breathed his life into. Jesus, however, is divine. He is the divine Son of God. He has come from above. He has descended. The Word has become flesh and now dwells among us. And we behold His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. There's a world of difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. Okay, there's an infinite difference. You can't even compare them. It's not like comparing apples and oranges. It's literally comparing human and divine. That there is no way you can compare the two. And then he goes and says this. What he has seen and heard that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He contrasts what he says in verse 31, he that's of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, with Jesus who comes from above, and what he has seen and heard that he testifies. In other words, John says, I am a human being, I am mere flesh and blood, and all I have is a human understanding of the divine things. John has never been to heaven. He has never seen God. Okay, he is trying to be faithful to God's word, faithful to his teaching. But at the end of the day, John is a sinful man who makes mistakes. Even though John is, according to Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that has ever lived, John was still a man who had an earthly grasp of heavenly things. Okay, you're talking a human being, flesh and blood, trying to have a human flesh and blood understanding of spiritual matters that he has never seen. However, Jesus, coming from above, comes not just with first-hand knowledge, because he's come from heaven, but he comes with first-person knowledge, because he is God in the flesh. So you have John the Baptist as a middleman. And we all know what you try to do in business, and that's why you try to get rid of the middleman. John the Baptist is the middleman trying to connect human beings with the divine. And all he knows is that I know of the divine, but he's still a human being, and Jesus is divine. Jesus is God become flesh. Jesus is God become a man. And he's saying, you know what? If you want to know what God requires of you, don't ask me, ask God. And who is God in the flesh? Jesus Christ. You want to know what God's like? Don't ask a human being, ask God. You want to know what God requires of you? You want to know what it takes for you to get to heaven? You want to know how to escape hell? You want to know how to live a life that's pleasing to God? You want to know what God's thoughts are on marriage, what God's thoughts are on church, what God's thoughts are on family, on being a man, being a woman, raising children? You want what God's thoughts are? Why don't you ask God? That's what John the Baptist is saying. He says, I'm a human being and I have a grasp of the divine greater than any human being ever has had. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. But at the end of the day, he's a human. He's never been to heaven. He's never seen God. However, Jesus comes from above. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. You see, what John is trying to show here is that the ministry of Jesus is infinitely greater than his own. And that his disciples should leave him because he's a human being and follow Jesus Christ because he is the Son of God, who has become a man. But notice what he says next in verse 32. And no man receives his testimony. This is kind of one of those where he kind of like slaps them in the face and kind of, you know, sticks his finger in their eye. This man's divine and you don't listen to him. None of y'all have received a word he had to say. You all aren't listening to him. Now, I want to remember this when we come back and apply this to our own lives. They hadn't even so much as listened to what Jesus had to say to actually know whether they received it or not. John says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus starts walking off and all these people start leaving. And John's followers go, we ain't listening to that guy. We're going to listen to John. And John's going, hey guys, what did I just tell you to do? I told you to follow him. Oh, we're not going to listen to that guy. We're going to listen to John. They've never even heard what Jesus has to say. They've never gone and listened to him preach. All they're listening to is the words of a man, the words of a man. And this goes back to what he said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given to him from heaven. He's looking at them and saying, guys, you want to receive eternal life? You want to receive saving grace? You want to receive forgiveness of sins? Don't talk to the man who's of the earth. Talk to the one who's come down from heaven. You're not receiving his testimony. You're not receiving forgiveness of sins. He's saying point blank, you are not right with God. Now think about this. This is the greatest man that has ever lived. This is the greatest preacher that has ever lived. And this man has more of the Holy Spirit than any man that has ever lived. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Okay, you think of Elijah. Remember the power of Elijah. And Elisha had twice the Spirit that Elijah had. And John the Baptist has a whole lot more than Elisha ever had. Okay, this is the greatest man that has ever lived, the greatest preacher that has ever lived, and he looks at all the people who listen to the greatest preacher, the most spirit-filled preacher, the greatest man that has ever walked the face of the earth. He look at him, and we're following him, and he says, and you're not right with God, because you're following a man. Think about that. Now, this should do something to the whole, like, fanboys of preachers. You know, well, I listen to so-and-so when he preaches. Yeah, he's just a man. He's just a man. Well, I go to Dr. So-and-so's church. Yeah, and he's just a man. People begin to call themselves after names, after great preachers and teachers and all of these things. No, they're just humans. They're just men. And even if you are a follower of the greatest man, the greatest preacher, the man that had most of the Spirit of God than any human being that has ever lived, you can still not be right with God. That should be a lesson to us. Because when we begin to talk about the state of our souls, people go, oh, well, I was converted under the preaching of Adrian Rogers, and Adrian Rogers was a man. Oh, Billy Graham is a man. You can go on and on and on and on. You can talk about the preacher. You can talk about the tie he was wearing. You can talk about your Sunday school teacher. You can talk about your parents. You can talk about anybody you want to. At the end of the day, they're still just human beings. They're finite beings with finite understandings and a finite portion of the Holy Spirit. That's what John's saying. He's saying, guys, you're not right with God because you aren't receiving what Jesus has to say. You're just listening to a man. And by the way, they weren't really listening to the man because the man told them, follow him. Don't follow me. And then he says this. He that has received his testimony, okay, the person that has received the teachings of Jesus Christ, the person who has received saving grace, the person who has received forgiveness of sins, the person who is born again, the person who is right with God, the person who is on their way to heaven when they die, however you want to word it, that's all the same thing here. Has set to his seal. You want to know the mark of someone who is truly right with God. Someone who is truly converted. Someone who is truly on their way to heaven. Someone who truly has their sins forgiven. Do you want to know someone who truly believes in Jesus? This is the mark of a true believer. What is this? That God is true. They acknowledge that the words of God are true. Now you say, well, that's kind of simple. Everybody believes the Bible. Everybody believes that God is true. You know the people who reject the Bible sometimes the most? They're church-going people. They are. Because guess who rejected Jesus? John the Baptist's followers. You say, hey, you're right with God because you got baptized by John the Baptist. Well, good for you. You don't believe that what Jesus is saying is true, and you won't even give him so much as a hearing. You won't even listen to one sermon the man has to preach. You won't listen to one thing he has to say. You have not heard a single word come out of his mouth. And you're going to tell me you're right with God? This is what John the Baptist is saying to them. He's saying, guys, you tell me you're right with God? If you are right with God, you would acknowledge that God, when he speaks, is true. And they won't even go listen to God speak. Because Jesus, he's saying, guys, look, you're right with God. Okay, well, God has become a man, and God is over there preaching, and you're upset because people are following him. If you were right with God, you would be following God's Son, Jesus the Christ. That's what he's saying. And you would be acknowledging that everything he says is true. But you see, they're not, because what are they arguing about with the Pharisees? Over purification. Whether John's baptism is better than the ceremonial washings. He's like, guys, don't you remember that time I preached that sermon on, you know, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? If you were right with God, you'd be following him, not arguing about all this purification stuff, not being upset because more people are following Jesus. If you were right with God, you would have the mark of someone who's right with God, and that is they acknowledge that everything that Jesus says is true.
That's the mark of the true believer in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be born again. And then he says this. For he whom God has sent, who is the one God has sent? It's Jesus Christ. Speaks the words of God. God, when he opens his mouth, speaks the words of God. And then he says this. For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. Let's just make up stuff. This is not biblical. We're just going to make it up to kind of illustrate it. Okay? Let's say that that on a scale of 1 to 10, okay, Elijah had the Holy Spirit at like a 3. Okay? That would mean Elisha would have the Holy Spirit on like a 6 out of 10. And John the Baptist has 9 out of 10. And Jesus has infinity out of 10. Okay? Let's be even bigger numbers. Okay? Let's say that Elijah has like 2,000. That means Elisha has 4,000. Let's say John the Baptist has 50,000. Jesus has infinity. Jesus is part of the Trinity. That means you cannot put a number on the amount of the Holy Spirit's indwelling on him. Okay? It's infinite. There is no bounds. There's no beginning. There's no end. There is no way you can quantify it. There's no way you can measure it. You can look at Elijah and say, oh, he has the Holy Spirit. And you can look at Elisha and say, oh, he has twice the Holy Spirit. And you can look at John the Baptist and say, he was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. And then Jesus is in a completely, totally different category. Because he's infinitely filled with the Holy Spirit. So what is John really saying to his disciples? What is the bottom line of this text? He's saying, guys, I may be the greatest man that's ever lived, I may be the greatest preacher that's ever lived, and I may have more of the Holy Spirit than any human being that's ever lived. But he's divine. I have a human grasp on these things. He is God himself. And if you want to know what is right, what God requires of you, go talk to God himself. He is infinitely greater than me. He has infinitely more of the Holy Spirit than me. He is infinitely greater than me. And you need to quit listening to me, and you need to go follow him. And the person who follows Jesus and acknowledges that what Jesus says is true, that is the man who's right with God, not the man who follows a mere man. That's what this text means. Now, the application of this text is what I want to speak on this morning. And I want to ask this simple question. Is your religion man-made, or is it received from divine revelation? We talk a lot about Christianity in comparison with other religions, and we always look at it in the terms of law and grace. How every religion in the world is based upon law and flesh and works, and how Christianity is based upon grace and the Spirit and faith. How every religion in the world is there's something you have to do to make God happy, but Christianity is God has already made himself happy in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? But I want to look at this in a different perspective. Compare every religion in the world with Christianity. Every religion in the world is based upon a human understanding of the divine. Every religion. Even if you acknowledge all of their stories to be true, which most of them are suspect. Okay, I don't know if you heard this past week, but some Hollywood guy invented his own religion this past week. I don't know if y'all heard that. It was like the religion of the circle or something. I didn't really care about the religion, so I didn't read much about it. But this guy just invented his own religion. Okay? No questions asked. That's a man-made religion. Well, then you go to, say, like Scientology. Well, that was a man-made religion by Hubbard. Okay? It's a completely, totally made up by a man. Okay, what about Mormonism? Mormonism is a man-made religion. It's a man who claimed he had a divine revelation from the angel Moroni. Let's say he did. Okay, have you ever miscommunicated with your spouse? Suppose he miscommunicated with Moroni. Suppose something got lost in the translation. Even if Joseph Smith had divine revelation, the Mormon church acknowledges that he got it wrong on some of the things because they acknowledge that he was a polygamist, had up to 40 wives, one as young as 14, and he was wrong on that. But don't worry, he got the Book of Mormon right. Have you thought of the insanity of that? Okay. What about Islam? Guess what Islam is? It's a man-made religion. It's a man-made religion made by Muhammad. Now, he supposedly had a vision of an angel, okay? Let's say the vision's true. Let's say that Muhammad did have a vision from an angel. Again, how do we know something to get lost in the translation as he wrote the Quran? How do we know? How do we know that? You see, the reality is, at the end of the day, Muhammad is a man. Joseph Smith's a man. Hubbard's a man. This Hollywood actor's a man. At the end of the day, Buddha is a man. At the end of the day, you Mahatma Gandhi is a man. At the end of the day, every religion on the planet has been invented by a man. Let's say that they're great men. Let's say that they're wise men. Let's say that they're godly men and spirit-filled men. You're going to tell me that they never sinned? They never made a mistake? You know what I mean? You look at Muhammad. He was a pedophile. Married a six-year-old. Okay, maybe he got the Quran right, but do you really think that someone who married a six-year-old got everything right about religion? And everything right about God? But you see, you can go through every single human being and every single religion, and what it goes back to is a man's understanding of the divine. Now, let's think this through for a minute, okay? Let's say that you're going to swing over the pit of hell on a rope, and I'm going to hold the rope for you. Okay? Well, let's say that you watch somebody else do it, and I kind of let go of the rope, and they fall. How many of you trust me? You're next. Well, see, what we know is no matter what man it is, men will always fail you. Men will always let you down. Okay? Your spouse has failed you. Okay? There are times when your husband was not the man that you needed and your wife was not the woman that you needed. There's time when your parents blew it. There's times when your kids blew it. Okay? There's times when your pastor, deacons, elders, they all blow it. Because we're human. Why would you trust a human being's understanding of the divine? Why would you trust your eternal soul to you and your own understanding as a human being? Doesn't the scripture say that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends are ever the way of death? Aren't we told to lean not on our own understanding? Why? Because we get it wrong. We fail. So how on earth can we as human beings understand the divine unless the divine becomes a human being? And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. That's the gospel, is that we as human beings cannot grasp what God is like, so God becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you want to know what God is like, you go look at Jesus. You want to know what God requires of you? Go look at Jesus. You want to know what God's thoughts are on a particular subject? Go hear what God himself had to say out of the very mouth of Jesus. You see, this is where this passage of Scripture has so much application. Because most people in this world, even some who profess to be Christians, are following the teachings of a man. And I don't care if that man is the greatest man that's ever lived, has more of the Holy Spirit than any man that has ever lived, and is the greatest preacher the world has ever seen. At the end of the day, he's still just a man. And that is absolute insanity, to trust your eternity on the words of a man. So what John says is we need to turn our eyes off of man-made religion, off of preachers, off of teachers, off of books and podcasts and theological discussions, and we need to look to Jesus and Jesus alone. Men will let you down. Okay. Do you want to know what God requires of you? Ask God. I mean, that seems so simple, doesn't it? Why would you ask me what my wife wants? Why don't you ask her? I mean, we understand this. You know, this is where all marriage problems come in. What is he thinking? I don't know. Ask her. Now, that's a kind of a new idea. Well, you want to know what God wants of you? Ask him. Go to Jesus and ask him. But see, this brings up the issue that so many people who profess to be Christians are really followers of John the Baptist. I remember preaching, this is several years ago, and I preached and we were talking about the gospel, and I talked about how in most gospel tracts and in most sermons, the gospel that's presented is found nowhere in the Bible. Absolutely nowhere. And you can look and you can take all these things out of the gospel tracts and you can try to find any example anywhere in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, it's not there. It's nowhere found there. And I remember preaching on this and just saying, hey, if somebody can show me in the Bible, I will gladly stand up here and apologize and take all this back, but you can't find it anywhere. Not a single verse says these things. And I remember someone afterwards came up to me and said, you've listened to too many sermons. And I was going, no, you've listened to too many sermons. Because what I said was show me in the Bible, and you went, well, I've never heard that before. And? You're going to trust your grandparents to get eternity right? I remember talking with someone that I'm very close to, and we were talking about Scripture, and I said, well, what about this text right here? and this text went against what they believed, and they read it, and they said, well, I just trust my grandparents were right. Said, even though God says the exact opposite, well, I really don't know what that verse means, but I think I'm just going to trust my grandparents. They're right. Really? I've had this. You begin to discuss things with somebody, and you say, okay, and they disagree with you. Okay, that's fine. We can disagree. But what does this verse say? I don't know. Well, let's find out. No, I really don't care. I've talked with people before and said, well, look, this is what Jesus says. Well, that's kind of your interpretation of it. Okay, well, show me the correct interpretation of it. I really don't want to talk about it. That's just your perception or your understanding or your interpretation. Okay, then let's read it together and let's see what Jesus actually... I really don't want to. They're John's followers. John's followers refused to listen to Jesus, so they didn't even know what he had to say to know whether it was right or wrong. Jesus has said, oh, I'm going to go preach over here. We're going to go listen to him. We're followers of John the Baptist. But you see, this is the salvation of so many people. They cannot open up the Word of God and show where they're right with God from the actual Word of God. They can tell you about a preacher. They can tell you about a Sunday school teacher. They can tell you about a church service. They can tell you about some sermon they heard. They can tell you about a gospel tract they read. But they can tell you nothing about what the Word of God actually says. And I would tell you the mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ is they acknowledge that God's Word is true. That is the mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ. Which means this, that you must say amen and agree to everything the Word of God says if you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ. That means if you are truly born again, you have to believe what the Bible says about the Trinity. You have to believe what the Bible says about hell, what the Bible says about heaven, what the Bible says about marriage, what the Bible says about divorce, what the Bible says about being a man, what the Bible says about being a woman, what the Bible says about elders, what the Bible says about deacons, what the Bible says about church membership. Every bit of it you have to believe. And when you reject it, you reject Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. And you cannot be a rejecter of Jesus Christ and acceptor of Jesus Christ at the same time. Which means when Jesus says, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. If you do not agree with that, you're not right with God. When it says, when you have a sheep that goes astray, if you do not believe it's the responsibility of the church to seek out the sheep that's gone astray and seek to restore them, then you are not right with God. How can you be a follower who doesn't follow? How can you be a believer who doesn't believe? Please explain that to me. You believe, but you don't believe. You follow, but you don't follow. I would call that a liar. I would call that a contradiction. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Is that true? That you don't have any options on that. You either say it's true or you reject Jesus. There's no options on that. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from them, I never knew you. Is that true? Yes, it is. You have to look at it. You cannot be an ostrich anymore. So many church people stick their head in the sand. I've talked to pastors this way. I've talked to church people this way. And they stick their head in the sand and they act like the verse isn't there. Paul went and ordained elders in every church. Is that true or is that false? It's true. So what do? We obey. We don't have a choice in that. The answer is either obedience or a rejection of Jesus Christ. And you either hold to man-made tradition. Well, I've never been in a church that did that before. Okay, I've had people say that about women pastors. What's wrong with women pastors? Oh, I don't know. God has a problem with it. Talk to him. Really, seriously. And I remember talking, Glenn and I were talking with a man about this. And he said, did God really say that? I was like, what am I hearing the snake? Yea, has God said? Because that's exactly what you just said. You're going to question God on this. How can you be right with God and reject God? You can't. And that was the problem with John the Baptist's followers. They claimed to be right with God while rejecting God. And they wouldn't even give him a hearing. They wouldn't even look. You see, when we come to Scripture, when it says, Jacob have I loved, you have to say, amen, that is true. And when it says, Esau have I hated, you have to say, amen, that is true. You don't have a choice. The only choice you have is to reject God. That's it. Which means when you begin to look at what the Bible says concerning marriage, concerning divorce, concerning being a husband, being a wife, being a parent, being a child. You don't have a choice. You cannot be right with God and reject what God says. You can't. Because when you do, you're following a man. And many times, you know who the man we follow? It's not Billy Graham. You know who the man we follow? Myself. And we reject exactly what God says when he says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. People will look at it and go, well, you know, if that scripture is true, then I'm wrong. You're wrong. Get used to it. The Christian life is a life of repentance. Okay? That's what it means. Repentance means you're wrong and you need to change. Okay? That's how you come to salvation, is you realize, I'm not right with God. I have to change, and the only way I can change is God's grace. And you seek the person of Jesus Christ. And after that, you know what you do the rest of your life? You read the Word of God and go, oh, I'm wrong. I'm wrong in the way I spoke to my wife. I'm wrong in the way I speak to my kids. I'm wrong in the way I disciple my kids. I'm wrong in the way I discipline my kids. I'm wrong in the way I treat my children. I'm wrong in the way I treat others. I'm wrong in my opinion of deacons. I'm wrong in my opinion of pastors. I'm wrong in my opinion of church. I'm wrong in my opinion of government. I'm wrong in my opinion of law. And I have to repent and obey Jesus. The only other option is to turn my back on Jesus Christ and walk away from Him. There is no middle ground. You're either on the narrow way or the broad way. The one who is truly born again has this mark. God is true. Paul said this, let God be true and every man a liar. What that means is when you have an opinion and God's word has an opinion, one of you's lying and it's not God. One of you's wrong and it's not God. Now you may not like what I have to say this morning. That's fine. But what does Jesus have to say? At the end of the day, I am not on the throne. The one who wrote this book is. And you can reject him. But at the end of the day, you answer to him. And you can say, I don't like what he says here. And that's fine. At the end of the day, though, he's going to require it of you. You know, to me, it's like an employee. We talked about employees and employers in Sunday school this morning. It's like an employee saying, I don't care what the boss says. I'm going to do it this way. And you're going to get fired. Well, my boss is wrong. Okay, well, you're going to starve. It's just reality. Whether you like it or not, Jesus is king. Whether you want him to be or not, Jesus is Lord. And at the end of the day, you answer to him. So here's the question. Does your faith rest in man or does it rest in the power of God? Your opinion is not welcome. Okay? You can stand before God and give your opinion on anything you want to, and you'll be wasting your breath. What matters is what God has said, and that is all that matters. So it doesn't matter if you are a follower of the greatest preacher that's ever lived, because at the end of the day, he's just a man. So the question that I would have for each one of you is, are you following the teachings of a man? You say, nope, I'm born again. Okay, how do you know that you're born again? Can you show me in the Bible? Okay, well, I believe in Jesus. Can you show me in the Bible that you for sure believe in Jesus and know from 1 John, know that you are right with God? Because you see, so many preachers have lied to you. You go to a bookstore and you can get all the Christian bestsellers, and a lot of them have lies in them, and all of them have mistakes in them. I don't care who they're written by, because they're all written by a human being. And at the end of the day, lay all the books aside and deal with Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the books aren't going to be there. He is. And so I would ask you, your faith, is it based on Jesus or the teachings of a man? Do you have a man-made religion, or are you finding divine revelation in the person of Jesus Christ? Okay, your view of marriage, your view of children, your view of church, your view of government, your view of this world, your view of human sexuality, your view of right and wrong, is it based upon a man's opinion, or is it based upon divine revelation? Where does it come from? Does it come from you? A family member? A grandma? A preacher? I don't care how godly your grandma is. She's still just part of Adam's dirt. Like me. That's all I am, is I'm dirt that God's breathed life into. You remember the old, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust? That's what happens. So I would ask you this. Are you following Jesus or are you following a mere man? Have you been a Berean and actually looked in the Word of God to see what it says? Okay, you may not like what I said this morning, okay? Then tell me what on earth John means in this passage of Scripture. Because that's all I want to talk about. I've had people come and yell and scream at me. Ah, I can't believe you said such and such. Okay, well, what does this verse mean? I don't know, but I want to talk about it. Well, then I have nothing to say to you. Because until you can show me where I'm wrong from this book, I will follow Jesus, not man. You see, this is what I meant last week when I talked about the job of, you know, my job as a pastor is to work myself out of a job. My job is to get you so following Jesus that you don't need me anymore. I'm the middleman. Get me out of the way. Go read the Bible for yourself. Notice I said read the Bible for yourself. I didn't say form your own opinion. I said read the Bible for yourself. The problem is so many people form their opinions and they haven't formed them from the Bible. They've formed it from church tradition. And I've never heard that before. And we've never done it that way. And I've never been in a church that did that. And my grandma never did that. And my granddad never did that. And he was a great Christian man. And he was wrong! Just like you are. Just like I am. Just like every day when you go to bed at night, what do? You confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. You know why? Because you've been wrong all day long. And you get up in the morning and what you do in the morning, you confess your sins. Why? Because even in the middle of the night, you were wrong. That's part of the life. That's part of humanity. And you follow the one who has always gotten it right. Because you cannot lean on your own understanding. You cannot trust yourself. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, my question for you is this. Are you following Jesus? Or are you following a man? As a parent, are you teaching your children to follow you or teaching them to follow Jesus? You know, my dad, I love my dad, but my dad and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. Hey, we see eye to eye on things that matter, but there's things that we don't see eye to eye on. And it's his fault. It really is. It is. Hear me out. Hear me out. Because he told me, don't believe me, believe the Bible. It's just the reality. And he told me, go look in the Bible for yourself. And you pray about it and you seek the Holy Spirit. You know, there's been a movement that's taken place even within the Southern Baptist Convention where the direction of the denomination's turning, and it's turning in a good way. And there's a lot of older preachers, and there's a lot of older preachers that are leading it, and there's a lot of older preachers that are opposed to it. And they go, how on earth did this happen? I say, it's your fault. You told us that every word in this book was true. We just happened to read it and believe it. You told us to go read this book and believe it, and we read it and we believe it. And people go, well, we're traditional. I don't care about your tradition. I care about Jesus. And that's what you need to care about. And the question I'd have for you is, as you raise your kids, are you teaching your children to read the Bible for themselves? To seek the Holy Spirit of God, to hear His voice, and to follow Him? You do realize your job as a parent is you're the middleman, and there comes a day when you have to get out of the way and your child then follows Jesus on their own and you're not holding their hand anymore. That's what it means for your child to become a man, is all of a sudden they listen to Jesus, not you anymore. That's what it means for them to become a woman. All of a sudden they're following Jesus and you don't have to walk behind them. You know, that's what you do with a toddler, is it not? You know, when your kid's learning to walk, you sit there and you hold their fingers like this as they walk. And then eventually they just hold one hand, then eventually you kind of sit back and you catch them before they hit their head. And then they take 5 steps, and they take 10 steps, and then eventually they're, you know, 15, 16, 20 years old, and they're faster than you. And you just watch them run. That's what you're supposed to do as a parent as it relates to their walk with the Lord. Yeah, you have to spoon feed them. And as they grow, eventually they learn to eat, and they get the food all over themselves, and it gets in their ears more than their mouth, and that's just part of it. But you keep feeding them the Word of God, helping them understand it. You know, sometimes my kids will be reading, what does this verse mean? And they'll come up with something that it means, and it does not mean what they say it means. But that's part of it. You just keep teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Why? So that someday, they don't need you anymore. Because all you are is John the Baptist. You're just a human being with a human understanding, and you want them to come in contact with the divine Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what you should do as a parent, as a grandparent. as a Sunday school teacher, preaching, teaching, whatever it is, that's your job. And so the question that comes to at the bottom line of this is, who are you following? That's it. Who are you following? Are you following man? Are you following yourself? Are you following your own opinion? Are you following the risen Lamb of God? Amen.